As I mentioned, the last couple of Sundays, we were at First Baptist Church of Boca Raton and enjoyed our time there in the services with the folks there. Thankful that the Lord has led my daughter and her husband to that particular ministry, and thank the Lord for their involvement already in that ministry. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. I hope that many of you are memorizing this passage, are continuing to memorize it. We started a few weeks ago suggesting one verse a week, and I hope that you're starting and following along with that plan. Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 18. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Again, even this week, I have been reminded about the necessity of being properly clothed in the armor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Putting on the armor of God. Certainly, Satan's attacks didn't stop after last Sunday. They kept going. And I'm sure that if some of us were to pause this morning and reflect upon some things that happened to us this past week, we would probably be able to give testimony to the fact that Satan was attacking. And he hadn't let up. He hadn't stopped. According to verse 12 of this passage that we have already studied, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And that word wrestle is a little tame. We are in an all-out battle. We're not just arm wrestling here, or we're not just playing at wrestling. We are in a life and death struggle. When I finish this series, I haven't decided 100% yet, but when I finish this series on the armor of God, I may resurrect a series of messages that I did many years ago on Satan called SOS, Sermons on Satan. And I did it in this order because one other time when I preached my series on Sermons on Satan, halfway through, the oppression that our congregation was under was unbelievable. So I had to stop in the middle of that series and do the series on the armor of God and then finish the series. So this time I learned by experience to do this series first. Because if we're going to begin exposing Satan and all his subtleties and all his tricks and all about who he is and what he does and how he works, we're going to have to especially be armed, because he's going to counterattack with terror. And so we're in a battle. And what does it say in verse 13? Because we are in a battle, what's the first word? Wherefore? Because of the battle, there's something we need to do. And the something that we need to do is put on the armor. We're to take it and put it on. And then we've studied already five pieces of the armor in detail. We have looked at the belt or girdle of truth. We're to have our loins girt about with truth. And as never before, we need to know truth, and we need to preach truth, and we need to stand for truth. If you hear somebody say, "Well, it doesn't really matter what you believe," you can be sure that they have believed the lie of Satan. Because it does matter what you believe. There is truth to be known, and there is falsehood that needs to be exposed today. And so we need to stand for truth, and we need to know truth. And so we take that girdle or belt of truth, and then the breastplate of righteousness. And we suggested when we studied that passage that it's not self-righteousness that we need, that it's not works righteousness that we need, because all of that is what? As filthy rags. But we need the righteousness of Christ. We need Christ's righteousness as our righteousness today, that imputed and imparted righteousness that comes from him. And then we need to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We need to be ready to share the good news, the gospel of how people can be at peace with God. We need to have the shield of faith. And certainly we looked at that shield and discussed how we use it and what it is. And then we, of course, looked at a few weeks ago the helmet of salvation. And certainly we need to be clothed. Up to this point, every one of the pieces of armor that we have discussed and studied are defensive in nature. But today, when we come to the sword of the Spirit, it is the first piece of our armor that is both defensive and offensive. Defensively, we hold it up and we can ward off the blows of Satan. But offensively, we can inflict our own blows. And this passage certainly leaves no question as to what that sword is. I want everyone to show me your sword this morning. All right. You know, let me just hold it up for a moment. Let me just say, you are a blessing to a pastor's heart today. You know why? Because you come to church with your Bibles. And you are to be encouraged to do that, and you are to be praised in doing that, because unfortunately there are a lot of people who go to church and don't even carry their Bibles. Now it does my it warms my heart and pleases me to see you carrying your Bibles. You know what else that shows me? That you expected to use them this morning, and I'm glad for that too. I'm glad that our church is a church that opens the Word of God. You haven't heard today, you haven't come to hear Pastor Walter's opinions today. At least I hope you haven't. But I hope you've come to hear the Word of God. And that's our sword. But I, as we study this passage, I want us to understand a couple of things about the truth this morning. There's something a little unusual about this passage that just doesn't jump out to us on the surface. And so now we have this fight, and we know that it's a stationary fight. We're not supposed to be going backward in the fight. Why? Remember what we talked about when we talked about the sword? About the shield? What was the shield? It was one of these things that was implanted in front of you, and you stayed with your shield to fight. So we know the fight is supposed to be stationary. We're not supposed to... Now again, as territory is gained, what do? You move your shield forward and you keep fighting. But there's no room for retreat. And then with that, it's a defensive battle because Satan is attacking. But Satan is also to be resisted and defeated, and so we can attack ourselves. Now, this morning in Sunday school, I didn't join in the discussion that much, but in some of our study in Sunday school this morning, Brother Ken reminded us of a passage of Scripture from Matthew 16 that talks about, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church." What's the next phrase? "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, Those who think Peter was the first pope and that he was the foundation there, a careful study of that passage reveals very quickly that that's not what Christ was saying. Christ was not building his church upon Peter, who he was making as the first pope. You know, I can take you to a church in Israel on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. It's called the Church of the Primacy of Peter. That's the name of the church. And it's right there on that exact rock that they claim Peter was standing and Christ was standing when Christ made Peter the first pope. Guess what I skip when I take trips to Israel? We don't go to that church, you know. It's meaningless to us. That is not what Christ was doing, nor is that what Christ was saying. What was the rock upon which Christ was going to build his church? Himself, and the statement that Peter had just made about who Jesus was. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter said, he'd made that statement, and Jesus said, upon that rock, I'll build my church. That Christ is the Son of the living God. That's the foundation of the church. And so we need to be those who stand in defense. And what, the next passage there says this. It says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When something is a gate, and there are those who are coming against the gate, who's on the offense and who's on the defense? This is called the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Is hell on the offense or are they on the defense? In that passage, they're on the defense. The gates of hell will not prevail as Christ and the truth about Christ prevails even against the gates of hell. So that means that the truth is on the offense and the falsehood is on the defense. So now we have the sword of the Spirit with which we can go forth on the offense. Never, never be ashamed of truth. Never be ashamed of truth. And never cower because we have the answers. And this truth is powerful. And so we have this assailant that needs to be assailed. And we're to do the assailing against the assailant, the devil. And this accusing tempter needs to be silenced. And how do we silence him? With the word of God. That's how we silence the tempter. And that's how we silence the accuser with the word of God. But something very interesting here. I misled you just a little this morning. Because when this passage says in verse 17, that the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. There are a couple of different Greek words, translated word, in our New Testament. One of them we are very familiar with. What is that word? Somebody tell me. You know it. Logos or logos, depending on whether you put a long O or a short O in there. But logos, logos. And it is the word that we're more familiar with, right? We have heard that word, logos, and did you have to learn the endings to that word while you were in Greek class? Yeah, probably. I remember that was one of my first nouns that I had to put all the endings on when I took Greek, you know. Asu, o, oimen, u, amen. Oh, I mean, there's all kinds of endings. There are so many endings to that word that it gave me a headache. But anyway, that's one of the first words you studied. Logos, which is translated word. Guess what? That's not the word here. That is not logos in this verse. It's a different word. And logos is a term that is used to talk about God expressing to us his will. God giving us a message of his will. God taking time to communicate his will to us. We call that revelation. And we believe it applies to a scripture from Genesis to the book of the Revelation. And it's all God's revealed will, God's revealed word, God's message to man. It's a message from the Lord. It was delivered with his authority, and it is made effective by his power. And so that is the word of God. And we have the written word, and we have the living word, Jesus Christ, the living word, and we have the written word. But when it comes to the sword that we are using, it is not saying that we just kind of hold on to our swords like a good luck charm. This is my sword right here. I've got it right here. Or we stick it under our pillows and say, I'm going to let that protect me tonight. No, that is not the word here. Do you know what the word is here? It's another Greek word, rhema. And that Greek word has to do more with speaking the word. With shouting the word. In other words, the truth here is, what is our weapon? As we speak forth the logos that God has given us, but speak it forth in particular situations where we speak a word of God to an attack of Satan. Now, if that's what it is, and I really believe that's what it is here, then what do we need to know? We need to know the particular words so that we can use them in a particular battle with Satan. It's not just enough to say, okay, Satan, you're attacking, so there it is, there's the word. That's not what it is at all. It's taking a particular passage to a particular attack and proclaiming that verse in that particular attack. Now, we have Jesus Christ as the supreme example of that, don't we? When we come to Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus has just been baptized in chapter 3. And then, listen to this. If you read it carefully, it says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. What? The Spirit of God led Jesus into this confrontation with Satan. Do we have anybody else in the scriptures that we know for sure was allowed to go into confrontation with Satan? Job, of course. I'm just throwing out a thought for you this morning. Perhaps sometimes in our battles, it's because God has led us there so that he can demonstrate through us his power to overcome and to have victory. How many of you would just as soon never have to have a battle in your life? I would never like to have it. But you know, sometimes God intends us to be in that battlefield so that he can demonstrate the power of his word as we speak it forth to defeat Satan. And that's exactly what happened with Jesus Christ. And we don't need to turn there because I know you're familiar with it, but in Matthew chapter 4, he was led to different areas and Satan would tempt him. And how did Christ always respond? What was his first three or four words? Thus it is written, or it is written. So how did he combat Satan? By taking a particular verse out of Scripture and confronting Satan with that truth of that verse. And so he has given us an example of that's how we go into this battle, using our sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the specific Word of God. And so that is our weapon. It's been provided by whom? It's the sword of the... So it's been provided by the Spirit of God. And again, we could stop and talk about inspiration of Scripture, and we all know that all Scripture was God-breathed, inspired, given by inspiration of God. And we know that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. And so we know how we got the Word of God. The Holy Spirit was involved in giving us the Word of God. So this indeed is the sword of the Spirit, because he gave it to us. And now we use that sword, that word that he's given us, in our battle. And he's there to meet every attack of Satan. Aren't you glad there's not one attack of Satan that doesn't have a verse in Scripture with which we can combat that attack? There's nothing that Satan can invent or come up with that's new that God has not already provided a way for us to defeat him. But we also recognize that since it's the Spirit of God that's doing that, we can only go forward in the power and the energizing work of the Spirit. You know, this is nothing that we can get proud and smug about and say, well, man, now I got it made. I can just quote this verse and it's all over. No, we don't do it in our own power, our own strength. We go using the word and the power and the energy of the Holy Spirit of God. And it's not just repeating a Bible verse, glibly repeating a Bible verse and saying, okay, here's a verse. We have to listen to other verses. Verses like, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. If we're quenching the Spirit, if we're grieving the Spirit, if we're not filled with the Spirit, we can quote all the Bible verses we want and it won't have any effect. It's a twofold thing. We take the sword of the Spirit in the power of the Spirit, and we use it to defeat the enemy. And the Spirit will then use the spoken word, because that's what Rhema is, opposed to the overall logos, the communication of God's will. Now we have the Rhema, which is the speaking forth of a particular passage or an individual and passage of Scripture. And let's turn to the book of the Revelation for just a moment. Turn to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 12. And I think we'll be able to see some truth here that corresponds to the truth that we're looking at right now. It says in Revelation 12, and I want you to start in verse 10. Revelation 12, 10. I want you to start with that first verse. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Can't wait till that day, can you? Which accuseth them before our God day and night. When I start my series on Satan, if the Lord continues to lead me in that direction, guess what one of the things we're going to study, that he is called the accuser. We're going to be looking at that truth. But here he's the accuser, and he accuses. And how did they overcome him? Verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Word. That spoken word, coupled with the power of the blood of Christ. And what can we do? Overcome Satan. Overcome the accuser. And we have to speak that word with confidence. We have to speak that word with clarity. We have to speak that word because of the efficacy of the blood of Christ. It's not our righteousness. It's not our power. It's in the power of God's word. The sword is not effective, and listen to this, without the breastplate. Because the breastplate is what? Christ's righteousness. In fact, I'm convinced that the sword is not that effective unless you have the whole armor. It's all a package deal. And that protection is found in having on the full armor of God and meeting Satan head on with the spoken word of God. So, what do we need to do? Number one, we need to read this book. Number two, when we are reading it and we find a passage that God lays especially on our hearts, maybe he's preparing us for something that's going to happen a few weeks from now, and so we should listen when he lays a particular passage on our hearts. Maybe we should underline it. Maybe we should write it down in a notebook. Maybe we should memorize it so that it's ready to be used when Satan attacks. And so we have to be prepared. We should have a whole arsenal of verses ready to defeat Satan when he comes. Now, you don't have to raise your hands. This is not a question I want you to raise your hand on. This is just a question to think, all right? But have any of you ever had doubts about your salvation? Now, don't raise your hand. That's not the proof. But where do you think, if you have, where do you think those doubts come from? From the enemy. Does he want you to have assurance of your salvation? No. Not in any sense of the word. Satan does not want you to know that you're saved. He wants to cause you to doubt that you're saved. So this is a little exercise this morning. Let's say Satan did attack you with that. You know what? I'll give you a little hint of where Satan attacks me most. He makes his attack in causing me to think that I am insufficient for the task. And you know what? He's right. I am insufficient for the task. But guess what? Christ has made me sufficient for the task. And Satan oftentimes causes me to fear and wonder, can you really do the task? And I can. I admit it, I can. But Christ can. And so when it comes to doubt, you know, maybe Satan causes you to doubt. So what do we need to do? Speak back a word of scripture in defeat of Satan. So, all right, let's practice this a little bit. Who can give me a verse of scripture that you might throw back at Satan if he were attacking you with doubt? Somebody come up with the passage. Yes, Bob. See, tell that to Satan. Say, listen, Satan. This is what the Bible says. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And he that believeth is not condemned. John 1:12. What's that say? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so if Satan comes to cause you doubt, can any of you not remember the date of when you were saved? You can't. You don't remember the exact date. Is that true, anybody? What? You can't remember that? Are you sure you're saved? That's maybe what Satan might say, right? If you can't remember the date, then you might not. You know, I read a story once about a man who was being plagued with that type of doubt, and he couldn't remember. And so he was told to go around behind the barn, put a stake in the ground, and that stake represented the time that he put his faith in Christ, trust in Christ. And the next time Satan came to plaguing, he took him around behind the barn and said, wait a minute, Satan, see that stake right there? That stake represents the time I trusted Christ as my Savior. You know, take a verse and throw it back. Why? Because that's the sword of the Spirit. That's how we're going to defeat Satan. That's how we're going to defeat the enemy. Now, in my situation, turn to 2 Corinthians 3:5. 2 Corinthians 3:5. What's this verse say? Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. There's my verse that I throw back at Satan. Our sufficiency is of God. It's not of ourselves. We shouldn't think it is, ever. And so we need to build an arsenal. And we need to be ready to take that arsenal if there's an evil thought. Again, I can be sitting in my office reading God's word, and all of a sudden there'll be a wicked thought come into my mind. And sometimes I have to stop and just say, God, where did that come from? Well, I know where it came from. It comes from Satan. He wants to attack my mind. And so I have, you know, quite a long time ago, when Satan attacks, not only do I try to quote a verse, but you know what I have started doing? When Satan attacks me personally like that, I start praying, not for myself, but for somebody else. And guess what Satan hates? Me praying for somebody else. And so guess what he does? Stops attacking. if he knows that the minute he attacks me, that's going to trigger me to pray for somebody else. He doesn't want that. And so that's kind of the practice that I have when that happens to me. And but then let's go back. I'm going to preach a separate message on this, but let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6, where we kind of started this morning. And let's start at verse 13, and I'm going to read down through verse 18. says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But while we're taking all of those things, what are we supposed to be doing in verse 18? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, as I've studied this, there are some who suggest that prayer is an additional piece of the armor. It's kind of like this hidden dagger. I guess I haven't really concluded that. I like to think of prayer as that which holds it all together. And what did the last part of verse 18 say? Watching, therefore, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. When Satan starts to attack, what do? Pray for somebody else. Because they're probably in the attack too. So, assignment for this week. If there is a particular area where you know that Satan is attacking, you need to get a couple verses ready to speak with the sword of the Spirit against the attacker. And we will be sure to have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we know that Satan will attack, and if he's attacking with doubt and fear, maybe we need to claim that verse that our Savior gives us all peace. John 14. Father, if Satan is attacking in our thought life, maybe we need to memorize Philippians 4:8. That tells us what we should think about. And Father, I pray that you'll help us to have a ready arsenal so that we can use the sword of the Spirit in the battle against Satan. Father, I pray that we might know unusual victory in that battle, that we will not be overcome by the wicked one, that we'll not be discouraged. Now, we know that ultimate victory is ours. We are so grateful for that. Satan is already a defeated foe, but he hasn't given up. And so I pray that we will stand against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And having done all, to stand. Use your word in our hearts and lives today and help us to be effective in that battle. While our heads bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder if there'd be any who would be willing during this closing time to say, you know, there have been some particular battles just recently that Satan has been waging in my life. And you'd say, Pastor, I'm going to obey Scripture, and I'm going to take a particular passage of Scripture, and I'm going to either memorize it or have it ready to read, and I am going to use that to overcome Satan and his attacks with me And I'm going to begin to practice more readily the truth that we've learned this morning. Here's my hand. Pray for me in my battle against Satan. Pray for me, Pastor. Here, slip up your hand. Yes, several. Amen. Yes. Thank you. I hope that everyone here this morning knows Christ as your Savior. You know, that's Satan is battling today to keep you from Christ. One of the biggest fears I have of knowing or even thinking about the fact that some of my people might not know Christ. They may know all about Christ. They may know all kinds of truth, but they still do not know Christ. I hope that's not true in any life here today. There's a big difference about knowing about Christ and knowing Christ. And I hope you know Christ. I hope you're genuinely born again, genuinely a child of God by faith. If not, I trust you'll listen to the Spirit of God and settle that issue. Father, again, use your word in our lives to help us be better soldiers of Christ, better representatives. Help us to win victory after victory through the power of God's word as we use it with the Spirit of God. Bless each one who had a particular area this morning that they are dealing with, that you will help them to find the right passages of Scripture that can be effective in combating Satan. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.